Blog Talk Radio. to sing. You can't be breaking down and falling out. You're going to break out your craft. Break out your words. You're going to break out some praise. Last time. When somebody clap your hands, it's a wrap. That's all you got, that's all you got.
Good morning, family. God bless you. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. This is Pastor E here live at the Now Network Studios with Real Talk with Pastor E, Minister Carolyn, and Minister Inoko live here from our own respected areas. Yes, we are social distancing. We thank God for you today. Yes, Real Talk with Pastor E is a dynamic, principle-based talk show that we could show extravagant respect not only to God, but to each other. Family, we are fully devoted to Jesus. We believe that the door of salvation is always open to those in search of the truth. And with open arms, our ministry demonstrates God's love and concern for our fellow man at every given opportunity. And yes, through works of charity, by actions of love, we feel that we are walking in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. And yes, we decree and declare we will reach the lost and unsaved with the truth of God. Yes, this is Real Talk with Pastor E and my partners, Minister Carolyn and Minister Inoko. We have a pretty dynamic broadcast this morning and some current events going on, and we always want to be prevalent for the things that are going on right now. But before that, I want to say good morning to my co-hostesses, Minister Carolyn. Good morning. How are you, woman of God?
Good morning, Pastor, and good morning to all the listeners, and good morning to you, too, as well, Minister Inoko.
Amen. Minister Inoko, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I am doing good, shooting for great, and I want to thank you, and it's always an honor and a privilege to come before God's people, and just being able to be with you guys is exciting.
Amen. We have fun. But we also bring the truth. Why is somebody calling me on that number? Anyway, we still bring the truth and honor each other. So thank God for you guys. I'm waiting on a special guest. This is a current event, so I'm waiting on a special guest of ours to show up. I don't see his number yet. But just a little prelim to what we'll be doing. I'm going to mute you guys. Well, can I get you guys to do this? Can you guys mute yourselves and then unmute yourself when it's according or when something that you want to say? That way I'm not searching or fighting to get you guys. But there is a situation in Houston, Texas. A young man, Joshua J. Johnson, was gunned down by the police in his own community doing what he was asked to do. Now, what he was asked to do during the pandemic and everything, I don't know the full details of why the young lady was not able to be at home, but I think it's because of work or maybe sickness or caring for people that while not being at home, her home was burglarized. Well, in the process of her home being burglarized, she in the neighborhood, someone she knows and trusts asked Joshua, would he house watch her home while she was doing what she's doing? And because it had gotten broken into. Well, and I'm really don't want to give too much. I'm waiting on James for this. But in the process of this, undercover officer sitting in the neighborhood on stakeout, came into an altercation with Joshua, and Joshua ended up dead. The facts don't point right. It doesn't add up. The story doesn't make sense. You look at all the statistical things that are available to us. The original report was that he died from a single gunshot. Then after the forensics came back, it was multiple gunshots. And multiple to me is not two. Multiple is over four. That's what multiple means. So he had been shot four times and made it back to his car. And when the major task force got there, they asked him to get out. He put his arm out the car and flopped dead at that point. James Hudson, who is a great friend of mine, a brother of mine who is covenant with this network, is actually been charged to work this situation of injustice. So he has a lot of stuff going on. He got a GoFundMe account because the parents are, you know, not well off. You know, I'm not really sure of all the details of that either, but we really want to support James and give him the opportunity to share with us. So what I'm going to do, let me try to call him in. Let me bring back in Minister Inoko. So that's kind of, did you get a chance to watch the video?
Getting myself off mute. Yes, yes, yes. And one of the things that I said is, and I try to stay clear because a lot of times, you know, people in the community and just as a people being visual, we will see stuff. And you go back to other cases where you see really cut and dry the person's rights are being violated, aggressive force, whatever it is, and then we get into the criminal justice system, get into court, and then they have us questioning what really happened. And then
exactly.
All of a sudden everything is thrown out or freed, you know, because of some kind of circumstances. So one of the things that I said was we have to, and one thing I love about this radio station is stand in prayer. Mm-hmm. Take some time to fast that the truth will come out and that justice
yes.
will be served for this family. And we need to really go to the Creator, because sometimes
right.
God wants us all to band together. And I'm not just saying to sit back and swing low, sweet chariot, but I'm saying there's so many times we have been so disappointed when we saw the footage and we saw the injustice, and then it comes back and say, not guilty. And then we're angry
well, you
and we're
know,
bitter.
Let me tell you something I know about Houston. Houston has a bad record in this arena. There is a lot of stuff that goes on. There's no answers to, and it works both ways, because there's a lot of crime there in the Houston area, as it is here in the California area. But any further ado, I don't want to go too far, because I want James to really
yes.
give us the meat of what's going on. But
yes.
as I was we're
yes.
waiting on him to come on, I just want to touch with you there and watch. It's going to impact you even more. But if you could, for me, in the background, everybody that's with us, we need all our intercessors to listen to what Minister Inoko said to us, is that the number one thing we should always do is not panic, but pray. And when we pray, we know the right things to say. Like James is a prayer warrior. We've been praying on this. God is leading him and directing him in his passion for this family. And you're going to get to hear that. But I need you guys to be praying with us and being in the background, because you know this isn't the most popular show. Normally, we have at least 40 people on here. We don't have. I need somebody to go on Facebook, post everything, anybody you know from Houston area, anybody you know any from any part of this nation that can support and that can help in the justice of this case, that they would get on today, invite someone. Without any further ado, I want to introduce to some and just introduce to everyone out here, and to just welcome back my friend, my brother. I can't even say nothing other than great things for this man. We've done great and wondrous things for the Lord and the community. He is an advocate. He is a trainer. He is a copyright. I mean, not a copyright. He is a stage playwright and director, actor. But the most important thing I think that connected us was the people factor, because James Hudson is always trying to help the people be better than they were. And that's where we celebrate each other. So I want to welcome this morning James Hudson to the broadcast. Welcome, my brother.
What's going on, bro? Love you, man. Yeah,
no,
bro,
I love you, man.
I know you do. I know you do. Thanks so much for the shirts. They've arrived, and I'm excited about that.
All right.
Yes.
They got here.
Derek, I need 5 minutes. Okay, so let me just try to get through this, man, because I've got interviews and all this stuff coming up here. Again, thank you for having me on, Pastor Eve. I was already encouraged just from listening to the lady that just spoke up, because she's right on top of it. And let me just start off by saying, when I heard of this incident, you know, the first thing I did was I just said, Lord, have mercy, you know, and which is what so many other people have said, Lord, have mercy. And I told them, I said, when I said that, I'm going to tell you what God has always told me. Every time I say that, Lord, have mercy, he said, James, you are my mercy. You are my mercy. Politicians won't do it. The religious leaders won't do it. You do it. You know, and that really goes straight to my heart, because I've been in these situations where I've taken on the entire Department of Human Services, not knowing how in the world just little old pecan me going to take on all these big-time people. But every time God has said, man, if I am with you, who can be against you? If you just pay attention to what I'm telling you and do what I am telling you. Man, I tell you, man, that the Holy Spirit, I ain't even been able to sleep, man. I'm telling you, it's just been, oh, my God. This situation that we find ourselves in, because I actually knew this young man personally, of course, so it's personal for me. You know, I actually knew Joshua. He worked on my productions. He was my sound man. His mother and father are the godparents of my daughter. He was a very hard-working young man. He was just over shampooing the carpet at the church, and he went and shampooed the carpet at my mother's house because he works for a carpet company. So I know this young man, and I know his character. And a man's character means something. You know, if I die tomorrow, and people on the news get up there and say, well, you know, they were always saying this guy, you know, he was a pretty tough character, he kind of stayed to himself. He didn't really want to, you know, he didn't want to be bothered with nobody. And people would be like, well, wait a minute, time out. Wait a minute, who are you talking about?
Right.
James, is that the person you're talking about? So your character means something. The way you live your life means something. People that know you, that have influenced you, I mean, all these things mean something. It's part of your character, who you are. So let's just go straight to what this situation was. Now, I'm going to give you the account that the police gave us, the family, when they came over and they did that at the news conference. They came over and they said, this is what happened. We had a deputy he was a part of the Gulf Coast task force where they were looking for someone who had committed a felony. Okay, a capital murderer. He had walked up to somebody's car and shot them dead. Him and another guy. So they're looking for a really bad guy. That's what they're looking for. Now they have this stakeout in this whole community where they think that this guy's going to come over to one or the other one of these two houses that's up and down the street or in that neighborhood. So they have the deputy and they're supposed to be staked out looking for this guy around about, I don't know, 5:55, 6 o'clock ish. What they stated was that Joshua came out. Now Joshua is house sitting for his neighbor. Listen to that word, house sitting for a neighbor, an elderly woman whose house had been broken into about 3 days earlier, and the woman went into the hospital. She called down to Josh's mother's house. He lived at his mother and father's house, which is like 6 doors down. He's been in this neighborhood for 28 years. Everybody knows him. Okay, so now he's there house sitting for this lady. She asked, can you come down and stay at my house, feed my dogs, and you know, keep a watch over everything? Okay? Now that's number one. He's a 35-year-old man, this woman, and he's house sitting for somebody. Let's just make sure we understand who this person is. He's house sitting. So he comes out on the sidewalk, probably smoking a cigarette or something. He didn't smoke much, but I'm thinking that time of morning is probably what he's doing because he's barefoot. He doesn't even have on any shoes. The officer said that Joshua approached his car with a cell phone and he had a cell phone in his left hand, and then he got his gun in his right hand. He said he tapped on the window with his cell phone, and the officer said he then rolled the window down, and Joshua pointed the gun at his head. They said words were exchanged. They didn't say what the words were. They said words were exchanged, and the officer drew his pistol, turned and fired at Joshua, striking him one time. And Joshua made his way back to the house, which was only like one house over from where he was in the street. He made it to, back to his car, which was parked in the woman's driveway, and he got in on the driver's side. About 5 or 6 minutes later, all the FBI and Missouri City Police, Houston Police, was all up and down that street within like 6-7 minutes. They said they were told him to get out the car. Witnesses said he put one arm out of the car, slumped over, and that's when he died. Witnesses said they saw them pull him out of the car. He was already slumped over and laid him down on the ground. And they said a gun was found on the grass next to him. That's what they said. Now, mind you, they said this gun is a toy. It's not even real. It's a BB gun. It's a toy. A little 10-year-old child can go to Walmart and purchase it. It is a fake gun. I don't know if that sounds familiar with you guys, Trayvon Martin. But anyway, a fake gun. This is not even real. Okay, and even if he had this,
but you know, James, when you were telling me this originally, and this is what just hit my spirit, because okay, here's a young man that was asked to house watch a place that had been burglarized. He's watching. Listen, he's watching. He's there on alert. So to see another car parked in the neighborhood that looks strange. That would seem almost natural for him to approach the car to say, "Hey, what are you doing here?"
Right, and we're going to get to that. We're going to get that. I'm going to tell you why it seems even more strange in a second. But okay, you're right about that. Yeah. And let's just go with their account with what they're saying. Let's just say that what they're saying.
Okay.
Then I'm right. Okay, so he taps at the window. So now, to get back to your point, so the officer is sitting here. Underneath what they say, this big light pole is where he said where his car was parked at, right? This big light that lights up about the whole little area there. He taps on the window. So this officer is on a stakeout. He is looking for a man who has been said to have walked up to somebody's car and shot dead. He is on a stakeout. Unless he's sitting in that car asleep, if I see this person approaching me, a black man with a cell phone and what appears to be a gun on my side, and I'm going to roll down my window, not even having my gun already pulled, I am looking for a black man that looks almost identical to this young man. And that's a fact because the news people sent me the picture of the young man that was later captured in Mesquite, Texas, that looks really could have been Joshua's brother. When I saw the picture, I almost fell out. I'm not gonna lie about that.
When I saw you post it, I was like, man, they resemble.
Yeah.
I mean, it was close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Joshua actually had his hair out just like that guy had, like an afro type. They had grown out from the picture that you saw. But anyway, so he resembles this guy. Man, my God, this guy looks just like the suspect. That I am looking for. So anyway, they say. Let me tell you how I know this story is false. They say the man turns and fires at Joshua, striking him one time. That's what all the newspapers say. That's what all the news channels said when they viewed him live and they gave their conference. They said he turned and fired, bam, striking Joshua once is what they said. Here's where the problem comes in. I later found when I went out to the neighborhood to do my own investigation, one of the neighbors said, Mr. Hudson, I need you to see something. He said, I'm going to show you the same thing that I showed the officers. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you see, and he has four cars in his driveway all the way down to the back of his garage. Four cars. On the right-hand side, there's a big wall there. You can't even get on that other side. On the left-hand side, where the cars are parked, you can only open your door, and the house is right there. You have to walk all the way down to get to the back door. When you're standing out in the street, there's a basketball goal that's in this man's backyard, but you can't see the basketball goal from walking down to the backyard. So the basketball goal is behind the house, basically. So the man takes me all the way back down the hall, down by the cars, and shows me. Said, "This is where the story is. It's not out there in the street. There's a bullet hole in this man hit this man's garage. put a dent, a little hole in the garage, and the bullet fell off on the ground. They circled where the bullet hit the garage, and they circled where it actually hit the ground. Now, listen, if I shoot a real gun at a garage made out of tin, that bullet is going to keep going. It is not going to stop when it hits that garage. It's not just going to ping and fall down like it's a BB gun. A real bullet is going to keep going. It has that much force. It had to hit something. I believe that it hit Joshua. It hit him, and the bullet went through him, hit the garage, and fell on the ground. That's what I believe, that this man chased this young man back in the back of, behind that house. Here's why I'm pretty much now that I'm confirmed with what I believe. What I call vital statistics, I said, can y'all just give me anything? They said he was shot once. Was it in the chest? Was it in the side? Was it in the back? Because one of the witnesses said they saw them put a patch on his back when he was laying on the ground. That when the paramedics came, they saw him put a patch on his back. Vital statistics told me, I looked, Mr. Hutchins, they're not through with this report. It might be 2 or 3 months before they do a very thorough report. She said, but I will tell you this, since you called in here, I'm going to tell you this. On paper already, it says that the cause of Joshua's death is from multiple gunshot wounds. And I said, wait a minute, ma'am, slow down, time out. I said, now, they said he was struck one time with a bullet. She said, I'm going to tell you again, Mr. Hutchins, this is all I can tell you. The cause of Joshua Berry's death is from multiple gunshot wounds. And that's all I can say because that's what's on the paper. Now, you can say that multiple means, well, he went in one side and it came out the other for gunshot wounds. I guess you could say that. But here's where that problem comes in at. Because yesterday or the day before, and I've been waiting for facts. I tell people, I want to work off of facts. Like that woman just said, you want to have your story right when you talk to the media. And the media has been helping me a lot. Let me tell you, I'm a 13 Jefferson Award winner. That's the biggest station in the state of Texas, Channel 13. I won their highest award, as you can see. Those people have been really feeding me information saying, this story don't add up. And they said, we wrote down 14 questions after I took them out there, and I told them exactly what I'm telling you. They said, this story does not add up, and we're going to demand that they do a thorough investigation, and they're going to answer these questions that we have on this piece of paper. They said, because it just does not add up. And so anyway, yesterday, we waited for and the car that was impounded, the deputy there, was talking with the parents, and we asked him, do you have any information? He said, I can only tell you that Joshua was shot twice. And we said, wait a minute, what do you mean he was shot twice? He said he was shot in the chest and he was shot in the side. That's what the deputy said. Now, every news station, every news article that came out, the Houston Chronicle, all those big-time news, every one of them said this boy was shot one time. And that was a fatal shot. And when the man explained it to the family, he said, this is the way it happened, and there is no other way it could have possibly happened. I have that on my phone, where they're recording what this deputy is saying to them. This is how it happened. He turned and fired, bam, striking him one time. Your son tried to make it to his car, and that's where he died. He said, that's the way it happened. I'm sorry. And it could not have happened any other kind of way. That is a lie. Because you're going to have to explain where did that bullet come from that's in the back of that man's house. And I will guarantee you it came from that officer's gun. The second thing I want to point out, every witness on that street, the two right directly across from where the man said he was parked underneath the lighting, the white man across the street and the black man in the yard that had the bullet, they both said they came to their windows when they heard those shots, directly across from where the man was parked. They said there was no car underneath that light. They looked both ways. The white man said, I looked both ways. I saw nothing on the street from my house all the way back down. He took me to come look, stand where I'm standing. I looked both ways. There was no car underneath that light. No car underneath that light. Why is a man doing a stakeout under a light? Two witnesses stated to me. I talked to him yesterday. And they, one man was a Hispanic man. He said, Mr. Hutchins, I was walking my dog around about 5:30, 5:40 before I was getting ready to go to work. He said, I saw that officer parked in a lot, which is to the left, about four houses down. He was parked in that lot. His car was facing, he parked straight in. He said, I kind of got scared because I said, why is somebody parked down there in that lot this time of morning? He said, he went into his house because he actually got scared. and he looked out his window. He saw the officer turn his lights on. That's when he knew that that's some type of police officer. He said, then he said, I felt a lot better knowing, well, it's just the police. They're just doing something. I don't know what. He said he then got dressed. He was already dressed, getting ready to go to work. He normally goes the way that the officer was sitting in the lot back there, to the left of his house. He said, I didn't even go to the left. I went back around the other way because I didn't want whatever was happening. I don't want to have no involvement in it. Then there was another lady who said she was going to work. She saw that vehicle in that lot, in the dark, sitting in the dark down there, and she didn't know what the person was doing, but she said that vehicle was in that lot. There's a lady on the corner that has two cameras up there. She's Hispanic. She doesn't speak any English. I tried to get her to let me see that camera. I said, that camera would have this lot on camera. She said, well, I don't speak no English. So I told it to Channel 13. They said, well, okay, I'm going to take somebody out there that speaks some Spanish then. So they went out there, talked with the lady. She said her cameras were pointing the other way. It would not have picked up that. I don't believe that. I believe that because from the man that was walking the dog, he said, the police have already been to that lady's house. They don't tell him what they told that woman because she's Hispanic. She speaks no English. They probably scared her half to death. And so she's not going to let nobody look at that camera. But you do an investigation, they're going to have to pull that camera. Because even when I was out in front of her house, I saw that camera moving. And there's just no way she's going to tell me that both of those cameras on that garage are pointed to the right away from her house. Where the one
exactly.
To the left is
because, yeah, so why would you have two? Why would you have two going the same direction?
The same direction. I said, whatever's on that camera, they don't want us to see it. But if we do a thorough investigation, they will pull it. And that would strengthen their case or it would strengthen ours. Because I didn't put the words in these people's mouths. That white man that walked up to that window, he said there was no car. I mean, he said that light lights up this whole little area here. You know, the black man where the bullet was found, his house is like almost directly where the light. That man had to move that car, I believe, because that's where the blood in the street was. He wouldn't be able to justify why Joshua would walk all the way four houses down in that dark lot and tap on his window. He is looking you see what I'm saying? He is looking for a felon, a capital murderer. Joshua looks like the man he's looking for. How many times have we heard this? How many times have we seen this? Where is our common sense? He's on a stakeout looking for a bad dude. Wow, look at this. I got him in my sights. I ain't calling for no backup. I ain't calling for nothing. I'm finna to deal with this situation myself. I am finna to become the captain. So now you're going to have to explain to us how that bullet got into that man's backyard. Now you're going to have to explain to us why you lied and said this man was shot once when you know he was shot twice. This is your news conference. This is what you said. We've got all the articles to prove it. We have the explanation that you came and gave to the family that he was only shot once, and this is the only way it could have happened. You didn't think that we were going to go back because these two elderly people can't take on the police department. That black people are too lazy to want to give a flat rip. You don't have no community leaders out here, no pastors, no political pressure, no nothing. So end of story. He shot, pointed a gun at if he pointed the gun point blank at the man, why didn't he not shoot him? I don't care if it is a BB gun. I can put your eyes out if I see you reaching for a gun. You are a plainclothesman. You don't even have on a police uniform. You are not in a police car. Why would I allow you to pull a gun on me and shoot me without even firing one time? And then if I'm going to turn and run, why would I run with my cell phone and my gun in my hand? I'm going to drop that gun. I didn't use it when I had a chance to. Why am I running with it? Maybe because if I have it in my hand, I realize it ain't going to do very much. It's a toy. It might kill a squirrel. Maybe. So all of that we know for a fact. The news people told me, she said, James, I got some pictures of that scene. She said, normally when an officer is involved in a shooting, they put him in the back of a car, even put handcuffs on him or gloves on his hand because of the residue from the gun. She said, but that man was walking around the scene. I've got pictures of him with a smile on his face. She said, that shit chills up my spine. Because why, even if what they were saying was true, why would you get joy out of just killing somebody that you later find out this is not the person we were looking for? Hello.
Right.
This is not the man you are looking for. What a coincidence. Again, he is not the person you are looking for. He is sitting, a house sitting for an elderly woman, doing what we taught him as a child, to love your neighbor as you love your own rusty behind. The little old lady next door to him said, he would take out my trash every Tuesday, every Thursday. I'm going to really miss him. The lady two streets, houses down, that boy would drive down the street with that loud car. He'd come by here. I would give him my grocery list. He'd go to the store, get my groceries, and bring them back to my house, serving his community. I understand that the police have a tremendous duty dealing with crime, with drug dealers. Drug dealers don't carry BB guns. You never seen a drug dealer say, hey, why you mess with me? I'm going to pull this gun or this BB gun on you. Bad guys don't walk around with BB guns. Tough guys don't walk around with BB guns. They want the real thing. Yesterday, I sat and looked at my TV. There was over 100 white individuals at a Capitol carrying guns. Not one arrest. Not one shot. We have a right to bear arms. All these neighborhood watch groups, we have the right to bear arms. Joshua had, he was in his own neighborhood. He had the right to bear a BB gun. Oh, he had a gun, a BB gun, and he has the right to bear it, protecting his community.
So you got something going on tomorrow. What are you putting together for the family tomorrow?
We have a very prayer vigil that's going to be happening at the park tomorrow. We've already got it approved. We've got probably about 300-400 cars that's going to be circling the park as about maybe 60 or 70 people are actually in the park. That's what kind of way we're planning it.
Okay.
So we have all that going on for us. What I'm going to be demanding is justice. When I called the Mayor Turner office here in Houston, they're saying basically that's not in our jurisdiction, James. It's in Missouri City. That's basically right on the top of Missouri City, Houston area is where they are. Like one street over is Missouri City, the next street is Houston, which is just crazy. But I said, okay, fine. Who's the mayor of Missouri City? She's just been elected, fixing to be campaigning again to be Yolanda Ford, the first black female, first black mayor ever in Missouri City. And tomorrow, on Monday, I'm going to have every member that I'm going. What I'm going to ask them 3-4 times on Sunday is that we're going to have the numbers of that woman's office, and I want every 500 people calling that woman's office on Monday saying we want justice for Joshua J. Johnson and hanging up the phone. Well, all we want is justice. We want an investigation, and we want it now. We want an investigation. We want it before they can cover it up, and we want it right now. That's what we want. One of the police officers that was out on the scene, he took a picture of that gun that was laying there. I believe that gun was actually underneath Joshua's seat, and when they pulled him out of the car, they found it, and the man threw it down there on the ground. I believe that man was parked in that lot, and he had to justify his shooting, so he had to move that car. So he moved it down there underneath that light 5 minutes after that shooting. That's what I believe, because those witnesses said they came to that door, their windows, when they heard the shooting. They did not see nothing. That's why the man said, I went laid back down. And about 5 minutes later, I started hearing cops calls, all of them down the street. But he said, but there was nobody sitting underneath that light, because my house is right in front of me. And I would at least saw the car. So there's something wrong.
Right.
And then they just totally omit the fact that this man had a bullet in his garage. Why are you lying about that? Why?
Yeah.
And you got shell casings that you're seeing out in the street, one or two from where he fired a shot inside his car. There's no way, if you look at that video, you're going to shoot across all them cars that man got in his driveway right around that corner and hit that mark. You're not going to do it. You've got to go up into that man's yard to do that. That boy ran for his life, and that man cornered him back there because you can't get out back there. Once you go back there, you can't get out. He's up.
Well, We've had several people watch the video, and as you walk down that driveway, what, there's about four cars back there. That's already tight to get back there. Yep. And then once you're back there, you're trapped. There's nowhere to go unless the garage is not open.
You're right, exactly. I believe he was trying to get to that man's back door. He was just talking with that man the day before, about 45 minutes. Me and Josh said I didn't talk, like we always do. He said Josh is always coming over here. He said Joshua knew my house was closer than his house. He took off running from that man, and that man shot him in the back of my. He said I heard that big bang in my backyard.
Man.
And he said, I wrote down everything that I did. He said, when I would approach the police officer, they didn't even want to hear what I had to say. He said, man, just get back. Go back. He said, no, this story that y'all got out here, that is not the story. Y'all need to come and see this. Somebody. So he said, he went to the second officer. Y'all need to come and see what's in my backyard. And then a couple of them looked at him and said, okay, what is it? And that's when he had to go back there. And I stood right back there to make sure that they circled that hole and they looked at that bullet on the ground.
What can we do as a community nationally to assist you? I know you have a GoFundMe account out there. We've already donated there. We want others to get that information too. But what can we do to keep pushing this thing? We can come back next week, talk again. Let's get an update.
Yeah.
Let's really, push this out there. But give us some assignment.
Yeah. We can go to that Justice for Joshua J. Johnson, that's the fund me, and we're asking people if they give $10, $15, $100, whatever they want to give to help this family. It takes a village, and that's what we're saying, to help this family do all the stuff that we have to do here. It takes a village. That's what we're going to do, ask people to go there. That's what I'm going to be asking them tomorrow about all those people out there to go to that Justice for Joshua J. Johnson. And I can send a link or whatever I need to do. But anyway, and you can just forward that to your friend. We're asking people to call Yolanda's Ford's number. And we're also going to be at, she's a mayor of Missouri City, Texas. I don't have that number in front of me because I'm driving, but Missouri City, Texas. And we're asking them to call CNN. I'm going to be asking them to call CNN and MSNBC, tell them we have a young man that was slain in his yard, and we have proof that what they're telling us is not the truth.
All right, cool.
Go ahead.
I know you got people. Trying to interview every 5 minutes. We're going to continue the discussion, and we have some advocates that are on board. I'm going to send you a replay so you can listen to it and then reach back out to me and listen.
Okay, and I'm going to still be listening to you, but I got to meet with you, so okay, bye.
Okay.
Thank you, brother. Right, God bless you. Guys, be praying.
Nah, thank you. Bless you, man. Oh, yeah, we're praying, brother.
Bless you, man. Okay, I know you are. Okay. Bless
you. Amen. Minister Inoko, Minister Carolyn, if you guys want to come on in, it sounds like a Lifetime movie. I mean, when you listen to the details, you watch the video and you see all the dramatic things that are happening. It's not really unforeign in the Houston area. If you could just do Google searches and find out how many officer related killings have transpired there, and the crime rate is up. You know, so James is not taking away from that there is a crime problem in the urban areas of Houston, Texas. But that still does not justify murder. I call that murder. You guys on board?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
What I was thinking, and as a community and as people, one of the things that I'm learning to do is we've just been given knowledge, which is information. We've given information. And in God's word, in Proverbs, he says to get wisdom, get understanding. And sometimes as people, we just get the knowledge. That's it. We just get the information. And then we don't do anything with that information. And so one of the things I'm asking people to do is begin not just to look at this situation, not to look at everything globally that is dealing with people of color, things that are happening just like this, and we call it injustice. But we always stop at information. We have to understand. When God said understanding, if we don't know the why this is happening, why this continues to go on, why, then we're going to keep having this cycle. And a lot of times we fail to look at fear. These people, a lot of times these people fear us, fear our men, Fear our children. Fear, and fear will cause you not to think right. Not saying that it's okay for anyone to take someone's life, but even an animal doesn't attack because he's hungry. He attacks because of fear. And I really think we need to, these officers, we can keep doing justice. We can keep talking to them. But until they deal with their image of us and people of color and stop fearing us, and then, you know, this, it's been there, and just reacting. And people don't, another thing is 2 years in California, before you can be, you can go on the street as a sheriff, you have to do, I think, 18 months to 2 years in the jails.
In the county jail,
so who is our jails filled with? Who is our jails filled with? We got to ask that question. That's the why. A lot of our jails are filled with people of color. And when I've sat down and talked with officers and I've talked with sheriffs and I've had a chance to work with them in my career, a lot of times I saw they were scared. And you know what the one thing they say in their minds? I want to get home. And so if your focus is not, is sometimes, I'm not saying all cops are thinking like this. They're all people with weapons. They're thinking about getting home. Safety first. I got a family to go home to. So sometimes reason and logic is going to come out of that. And what it says, when you're fearful, you're going to flight, you're going to freeze, or you're going to attack. And I think the trainings that they give these give officers and give people should really be about being safety, taking control over feeling safe, feeling safe. You know, when you're with people, don't prejudge them. But going back to the jail situation, they see so much going in jail, and then they stereotype and they take that and think that's across the board with everyone when it's not. So all I can say today is that let's not just stop with the information. Let's get wisdom and an understanding of deeper of why this continues to go on. Because we just keep hitting the surface of this is injustice, this is about black and white or brown or whatever, but why? And if God is saying get a better get understanding, he can't, you know, we can't expect God to just do his job if we don't do ours, if we don't do our part. And when we're looking at these things, the language.
See, that goes without being said across the board. I mean, we're not willing to put the work in. And look out to do the right thing for others, then we continue to hurt ourselves also. I'm about truth. I'm about people's existence of us all feeling that even though we've been some things, people have been hurt. People have been hurters. But when are we gonna finally sit down as a community, as a movement, and say, can we try to fix everything? Because we do, we are bad at the surface stuff. We only activate, we only move for certain things that look like it's popular and stuff like that. Instead of going deeper into what's the next move. That's what I'm hoping that this broadcast can birth, is not just trying to, you know, not just trying to do injustice, but trying to do justice. Or trying to bring it all, you know, bringing it all on the table, because everybody's hurting out there. There's people that are depressed right now. I mean, look at what we're going through in our society. You know, different states are now. You see, even our own nation, states are starting to formulate, you know, ties with others that they don't. You know, it's really crazy in a democratic. Society that we're supposed to live in, that is starting so much to look like it's a turn towards the worst, and we're not doing anything to make it better, because we just like whining and complaining instead of really talking about the real stuff and being able to go to the next level of accountability. Because I can't just blame you for being wrong. Let's find out, why were you wrong? And I like that, because most people, you know, are affected by fear. And it's not just fear of society now it's fear of corona, now it's fear of any of interaction, now it's fear of socializing. I mean, it's just it's damaging to where we need to be, but we got to do better. And I'm going to keep pushing that we're doing better and that we're reaching to get some solutions and not just sit around and keep whining and whining and whining and doing flyers and talk shows and all this stuff just to be talking, but can we really be effective in assisting everyone to find peace? Now, I know for a fact, I didn't know this. I promise you, I did not know this because this just happened. I just got connected with James on it, and I know Joshua. I mean, I've been in several of James's plays, and now I remember Joshua. Joshua always was a helper at the church, always set up, stage set up. I know him, you know, and so it's like really a little bit more closer to me now because I was thinking Joshua Johnson's situation happened in somewhere in the area, but now listening to James' further explanation is like this is someone I knew, and he was a kind, gentle person, and we're praying for the family. That's one thing I want to pray for his parents. They are grieving right now. They are lost right now. Joshua was a major part in their household. And as you, and even as you heard from James, he was a major part in the community. So we want to pray for the family. We want to pray for the community. We want to pray for the police department. We want to pray for the news. We want to pray for the state of Texas, the city of Houston, and the county of Missouri City, and the county of Houston that justice is served, and that it's not just about finding one guilty. It's about finding ways to heal your officers that they're not vulnerable to take life, and to heal our cities and get more productive programs that we're taking crime out of, not the neighborhood, taking crime out of the people and giving them other means of becoming successful and becoming breadwinners. And you know, and I've lived on both sides. So I know I can only say mine was selfishness because I knew it was a lot of money to make. But I knew that a lot of the men in the neighborhoods that worked for me and that were employed by me, it was a means to their end. And so we have to do better at getting people out. That's one thing I'm proud about here at the Now Network, P2P, Swag, and all of our connecting. We're trying to rebuild people into entrepreneurs that, you understand, you need a job. But when you're trying to get a mindset, don't stay in the job. Use the job as a springboard to launch your business, to become successful as an entrepreneur in what you have a drive and a passion for, and that people now can find worth in themselves. That's where the problem is, that people don't find worthy. They think it's I'm more worthy, or you're more worthy, or he's more worthy, instead of us being more of an agent of worthiness that everyone feels they're worthy.
And self-love, because like we talked last week, it's like looking at the Creator. We got to stop going to people to validate. And I tell people, would you take a Volkswagen to a Mercedes dealer and talk about fix this? No, you take it to the person who created it. And I said, sometimes we just got to go. And I know for me personally, I had to go to God. I had to go to him and say, how did you create me? How many times I've read Genesis over and over. And then when I went back to read it, and I'm talking about God created all women, all men, needing the same thing. Women, we need the same thing, but when we need. But when we go after our wants, that's where we get off, because you were talking about working and being in charge. God gave men the ability to provide, protect, and to visions and dreams, and women are to be loved and to be protected and to interpret and to be helpmates. I tell women, when we walk into an environment, we should never walk in there to tear it down. God said we birth out things. We're walking in to make it better. And so I think that we need to go back to the drawing board and look at, like you were saying, being entrepreneurs, and doing business, not business, talking about doing things with excellence. Serving people with excellence. Stop taking shortcuts. Take the class you need to. Network. Volunteer at organizations that you want to do. Mentor. Why do you think they have the thing as internships? And I tell people, every position I went into, I volunteered first. I volunteered,
right.
And they said, oh, she's going to give this much as a volunteer. What if we put her on our payroll? And so take out the time. If you're not an entrepreneur, you know, Pastor E has a business. I don't know if he accepts interns or volunteers or, you know, but it's like seek out.
Sure.
And say,
uh-huh. Yes, I, where they at? Where they at? Tell them to call me.
I tell people. To look at what you're willing to do for free, but somebody will pay you. And when you're negotiating things, I tell people, look at how much you want to give. And then you put on the table how much you want to work, how much you want to give. And my late husband taught me that. He said you never walk into a business deal asking for what you want and how much you want to make. You ask for what you want to give and still live the lifestyle you want to. Because he said
right.
The money you're making is really not for you to live a lavish life on your own. It's to give. How much do you want to give that you still can live the life? And every time I've gone into a job or any business doing that, God has met that need. And then going back, when you were talking about complaining about stuff, I thought about, in Deuteronomy, how they marched around that mountain for 40 years because they were complaining. They complained the whole time. And I kept thinking, are we just marching around the mountain because we're just murmuring and complaining and we're not, and God has blessed us and opened the door so many times and we've been so blinded by stuff that we're just pulling people around the mountain with us. Come on, join us. We're just going in a circle. And that came to mind when you were speaking.
You bring that up because, it was a 40-day journey from the other side of the Red Sea to the Promised Land. And it was a 40-day journey of training to be ready to enter in. And because of their unwillingness to trust God, then trust Moses, they ended up, what, just circling and dying off and not being able to.
Are we doing that?
That's what I'm saying. Are we doing that? Well, a lot of us still are. We still in wilderness stages when we call ourselves this and call ourselves that. But I believe we can get it right. Minister Carolyn is texting me wanting to get in. I've unmuted her mic. Unmute yourself, Minister Carolyn. Come on in. Anybody else want to get in the conversation? Also, dial one. Open the conversation. If something may be going on in your area and you're looking for help or assistance and guidance on how to become prayer warriors first. And then let God lead you in the arenas, for you to be an advocate or just to be a help. Dial one. We'd like to help you in any kind of way we can. Minister Carolyn, are you there?
And I don't know if Pastor Boomer made it to the call. So if he did, I would love to hear from him because he's amazing.
What is his first three and last four?
His first three and last four. It's going to be a 909 number.
No, not here. No. Every time you say that name, like, I know him. Where do I know him from? Amen. Well, Minister Carolyn is not unmuting herself. Okay, she hung up. All right.
Okay, it's a 949 area code, I think. Yeah, 949.
No, not that. That's not on there either. There's a 916 on here today. And if you're on the line and
you
know
what? A 916, that may be Kim Shannon. I think that may be Sister Shannon. So I don't know if she's on the line, but I know I sent
her. Okay, here, we're going to do a roll call. We're going to do a roll call. Okay. We're going to check numbers. Area code 916, last four, 5682. Welcome to Real Talk. We just want to say good morning. What's your name?
I'm Kim Shannon.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hello.
And she's from the Texas area. She's out in Texas, actually.
Oh, okay. Amen. Well, this is your guest. Go ahead and introduce and get the conversation started, Ms. Minister Inogo.
So, Kim, I don't know if you were familiar with the shooting in Houston, because I know you're in the more in the Dallas type area. So I don't know, have people been talking about this incident in your area?
Actually, no, I haven't. This is the first I've heard of it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, this is the first I've heard
that's
of it.
Not, that's not – And believe it or not, that's not uncommon in Texas. That is not uncommon in Texas at all. I mean,
when I heard this was Texas, I'm like kind of stunned here because I haven't heard anything about this. It's not that it's been on the news, and I did watch the news last night. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. They're not showering with it. I know James is pushing that tomorrow. They're really doing a kickoff tomorrow in Houston. The flyer is on our Facebook pages and things. We'll get that out to everybody. But they're really doing a march tomorrow. It's an authorized march tomorrow in Houston. I don't know the exact park. I do know that James said about 60 cars are going to be caravanning, and then about 60 people in a social distancing area will be in the park. So we want to get that information out there too. But you talk about Dallas. There's a lot of in this same stories are up in Dallas. You know, Texas is pretty known for shoot 'em up, bang bang. I mean, it's throw away the key and lock them up. Yeah. Throw away the key and lock them up too. And my daughter lives in Arlington, Texas. So I have family all through Texas and West Texas,
all over the place.
So even her stories of the things that go on up there are even devastating.
Yes.
I appreciate you taking out the time, Kim, and, you know, coming on the call. So I really, really appreciate that.
I'm getting better.
Kim, we would love to talk with you offline to get you back as a featured guest so we kind of have some substance on how to really get the good information out of you. There are people, as I said, my daughter's up there. She listens. So there are people in that area that that could benefit from things you may have going on and some information you may have to share. Minister Carolyn's trying to get back in. Let me finish this introduction. So, I'll have Minister Yunoko get with you, and we'll put something together to have you come back as a featured guest so we can really get some meat out of you.
It's all God's work.
That's right. That's what it's all about. Amen. Bless you.
That's right. This is her season, too.
Well, let's do it. Let's do it.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much, Kim.
Thank you, Kim, and we'll talk again.
And I don't know, go on.
Where's my ride or die? Minister Terry, welcome to Real Talk.
Good morning, family. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, praise God, because, you know, praise God. I was on Prophetess Lisa last night with a new phone, and I couldn't get in to speak, but I said I bind it up, the devil is alive. But God bless you all, family, and I love good morning, Minister Inoko, Pastor, and all the ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Amen. Go ahead, Minister Terry. That was Minister Carolyn coming in. I muted her, but go ahead and finish. I'm gonna bring her in.
Oh yeah. Good morning, Minister Carolyn. Also, but I love Pastor James. Tell him about the young man Johnson. My God, you know. And as you guys were speaking, I was sharing it all on Facebook with all the memes off of James Huston's page because I love what And Minister Inoko, you said we get all the information, but are we getting wisdom? And Pastor, you guys are talking about solutions because this has been going on. We've been more reactive after things happen instead of consistently being proactive because these things are going on, and they are going on with people of color. And I love what the young lady said, that she's in Dallas, and it happened in Houston, and she didn't hear nothing. But when you're in local news should share everything. And it should go on, something like that should be mentioned on the broadcast 3-4 days constantly. So somewhere the ball has been dropped. So I say all glory to God for this broadcast, and I'm thanking God as I speak that Real Talk is back because we have real life issues that's going on, and even over the virus, they're still going on. So we can't let the virus take our focus off what's going on with our people. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
Family. I love you all. Amen.
Bless you, Minister Terry.
Amen.
Minister Carolyn, welcome back in.
Hello. Good morning. Can you all hear me this time?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, Pastor. So, you know, this is real talk, right? Real talk, real talk. So you all know that I am so transparent, but, like, I'm really mad. I am mad and I'm upset that this happened to this child the way that the man described the scene and everything. And I didn't get to see all of the video. I seen pieces because I was driving and trying to look and trying to prepare for the show. But everything that I thought I was going to say went out the window, especially when it comes to situations like this. Because, as you know, well, Pastor E and I are always, like, on scene. We're at homicide scenes. And because I had a brother get murdered in the middle of the street by another person. But just to think that a officer of the law, those that are supposed to protect us, that's supposed to look out for us. It seems like, as Enoch said, they would do their homework, they would investigate, and then for them to cover up and lie about something they done. And they used to call me CSI Carolyn because I'm always watching homicide shows and First 48 and all of this other stuff. And for them people to stay on these youngsters' head and those interrogation rooms, but then to try to help and cover up their wrongdoings at the hands of a young child. I'm like a more, I could be an advocate or I could be an activist and I could push the front line. This is like, it's not cool. It's like if the coronavirus wasn't on going on, I'm quite sure I would be like, tell the pastor, let's go. We got to get to Texas. Because we all know I'll hop on a plane in a minute. But I am, like, upset, and I pray for justice to be served. Just how they pray for justice to be served when these mothers are losing kids due to gun and gang violence, I pray that justice be served when the police, because I'm looking at them like they a gang now. And I mean, I just have to keep it raw and uncut because this is real talk with Pastor E and Mr. Carolyn. It's not cool. And if they fight to get our young black men locked up and caged up for the rest of their lives, and for this man to be walking around smiling and then lying and say that, I've never seen on any show or in real life where a detective would sit up under a lit light. Scoping out somebody's house. Who does
that? And they do.
Or where
they
did
do.
He get his training at? You know what I'm saying? Where,
but no,
where
they
did he get his training?
Yeah.
Wait, what
and
was
one of the things, they do. They do in surveillances. They'll park their cars. It depends on the neighborhood. And especially neighborhoods that people don't question anything. People don't call in. Let a car be parked in certain neighborhoods. They're going to call and say, there's a car been parked in my neighborhood. Law enforcement, there's a car that's parked there. And that's one of the things that I said with getting understanding is we have to go into situations and be okay with looking at both sides and then coming together and finding the truth. Because sometimes, like I said, it's like law enforcement. What were they thinking? What would this young man think? And like the guy was saying that who would go somewhere with a BB gun? How many times people robbed a store with a BB gun? How many times people had BB guns and did stuff? So what society wants you to do is to think on that level instead of saying, okay, he had something that appeared to be a weapon. Not to justify this. I'm not saying that this was okay, but we have to begin to think like the enemy. And we have to, like Deborah, when she went out to war, Deborah, when she said, I'm going to protect you, she never sent her men out front. She never sent them in the back. She covered your blind side. It's time for us to get people on the table that's got our blind side, things we can't see coming at us. And that's how I see a lot of times we lose these battles because we got people in front marching. We got people in the back. But who got our blind side?
I get that. But I'm going to talk about the hoods I know.
Yeah.
Let me just share the hoods I know. Because I know the hood he was
no
in. I know the hood I'm
no light.
Not in the hoods I know. Look, let me tell you the truth. If they're surveillance and they're undercover, they ain't parked under no light. They are hitting somewhere dark. They're hidden. They're trying to
in a broke down van with a camera in it.
Yes, in a broken down car. Well, you know, and so, but it doesn't. The right and the wrong is not what this is really about. It's about becoming more supportive of one another, and knowing how to see. I look at every situation like this, God. It could be good, it could be bad, but it's really here to make us better for the next one, because there's gonna be a next one. I'm tired of getting caught with, what happened? Oh, man, you know, it's so reactive instead of being proactive. Proactive means we have these kind of
discussions. Minister Terry brought that up. Yeah.
That means we have proactive conversations saying, okay, we've been slipping, but how do we step it up without pointing fingers and without judging or putting other people under and saying, okay, look, I'm going to do better to show others how to do better. And we're going to get all the facts together. We're going to get everything in order, and we're going to get the truth. Because I think that's the only thing James and them are really pushing for is the truth.
Right.
If it was an accident, which James even said on the video, he said it could have been a common accident. If it was an accident, then say it was an accident. They want the truth.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They're not trying to lynch mob the police department. They're looking for the truth, and it does not
Amen.
Add up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest
like
thing. That family deserves the truth.
Okay,
that officer
truth.
Stands there, that
yeah,
he stands there and says, you know what, I'm sorry. He walked up to my car with a gun, and I just started shooting. I was scared. That's the truth.
That is.
But to hide the truth is where I'm fired up about, where I'm angry about, is that you can see that it is intentional that the truth has been hidden, whether right or whether wrong. That's not my judgment. I'm not judging, and I never will, right or wrong. But the truth will most of the time hurt, but it will set people free.
It will
heal. And I'm praying for that family. I'm praying for that family to be set free, because they don't know what happened to their gentle giant. Mm. The love of their
home.
And
I like what you said about truth.
Truth.
Bottom line, you wound it up. Truth. Truth.
That's
truth.
It. We want truth. We're fighting for truth. The truth will help us all.
And that should be the call. That should be the call. Truth. Hey.
Truth. I think James probably running around wherever he's interviewing, he's listening. He's probably running now, because we just started hashtag truth. I started a hashtag on this because I am following and I am supporting James all the way on
Amen.
This one. But let me tell you what my hashtag is. Hashtag, it could have been me. That was house sitting somewhere and went to the car to investigate why you parked out here in my neighborhood and got shot. It could have been me. I just want the truth. Look, we done got James fired up. He back now. Come on back in, James.
Yes,
what's
truth.
Going on?
I like that.
Yeah. Well, I'm listening and I'm learning, and that's what I do. And you guys really feed me some things as the Holy Spirit is directing me. I'm listening and I'm learning, because that's what I do. As you just said, I'm just looking for the truth. That's what I want, and I'm really appreciating what I'm hearing coming from you guys, especially with the sister that talked about. As a community, we've got to find a solution. It can't not just be about justice. And I was sitting here thinking as I was talking with God, you know, we have to get to the point where we're inviting the police to play basketball, to play soccer, to come
Amen.
To our churches, to see us as human beings and not as a threat. That's the reason they see us as a threat. Because like she said, all the black people are in jail. You know, 80-90% of people in jail are black people. But you haven't come to our churches. You if you come to our family reunion, if you just come and play ball with us, then you will see that we are human beings. You will fall in love with us. Then you will understand where we're coming from. You know, you will have an understanding. I have a white friend of mine that lives across the street from me. We go fishing all the time. And he told me, he said, James, the last two times I was stopped by the police, you know what I was doing? I said, what? He said, I was driving. He said, I was once taking a lady home that she needed a ride. The police stopped me. I said, well, why are you stopping me, officer? Do I have something wrong with my life? He said, no, but you're driving in this black neighborhood. He said, when was it against the law for me to drive in a black neighborhood? He said, I'm going to take your badge down. I'm taking your number down, and I'm calling the office. And don't you ever stop me again if you see my vehicle just because I have a black person in my car. He said that you are depending on my rights. It's not illegal for me to drive while a black person is in my car.
Amen.
But I'm just trying, and I told him, I said, you see, you've experienced that twice just because you. I said, now what if you a black person yourself, though? How many times? So now you kind of understand it, what we feel when we've been pulled over by the police.
That's right.
By the police. Like I told you one time when I was pulled over by the police, he told me, well, I smell marijuana coming from your car. I said, well, man, I don't smoke marijuana.
If you know James, that is so far from the truth.
Yeah. But to see the young lady, he pulled me over at a gas station. That young lady stood out there. She said, you are not going to be searching his car without me watching everything you're doing. And she said, does that man look like he does drugs to you? And you better not plant nothing in that man's car. That was an eye-opening experience for me because I was naive. This young lady has seen this man pull people over many times. He's an Asian guy. And he terrorized Southwest Houston for a long time. And the guy that shot Joshua was an Asian guy. I have not seen this guy, and I'm hoping and praying that this is not the same person that has graduated from putting drugs on people to a deputy to where he's on his stakeout. I'm hoping and praying that is not the case. But when they show me his picture, I'm going to know because that guy terrorized Southwest Houston. But it just goes to show you that you've got good police officers and you have bad police officers. The police
right.
officer that showed us that gun, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to say,
no.
Look, I'm going to show you this, but it did not come from me. I'm just letting you know this is a toy. It is not nothing real because he understands that they will switch that thing on you in a second. So you've got, and we have to understand, you've got God-fearing police officers. You've got black police officers, white police officers that cannot stand injustice. You've got millions
right.
of white people that cannot stand injustice. Millions of white people that voted for a black man to be the president of the United States. They can't be racist. They cannot stand injustice. They will stand up against injustice. They did it here. They did it during the Civil War. They did it during the marching with Dr. King. We have to understand, we need all these people. This is not just a black community problem. This is an American problem.
That's
and
right.
Until we understand that, we've got to reach across the aisle to anybody that does not like injustice. Injustice to one is an injustice to all, whether you are black, white, brown, or green. Because there are millions of white people that teach their children to have respect for the next person, regardless of their color of their skin. And
That's
we've
right.
got to understand that, and we've got to give them credit for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And I
That's
like
right.
that.
All,
I really like that.
They all prejudiced. They all racist. No, they are not all racist. No, they are not all prejudiced. And if you would invite them to come into your camp, many of them will.
Yes. And you know what? I really liked what you said because if you know me, it's hard to fail me. And developing relationships, and that has been one of my prayers during this COVID-19, is that we begin to know who lives next door to us. We begin to talk to people. I mean, going to the grocery store, you're in line for 30 minutes, even just saying hi to the person. But relationships are so important. And how many times we've built a relationship with someone from a different race, and the first thing when we built that relationship, they say, you're different. Are you, you know what? Wow, you're really a nice person. And in your offense, you go, well, what do you mean? But it's like, you were saying so much about us being together and having people from every walk of life, every organization. I tell people when I'm rallying, people from environmental, people who save the animals, everybody comes together because without banding together in numbers and looking at, you know, and supporting each other, we're going to continue to have the same problem. And I tell people, even with people in the environment, if our environment dies, we die. So I love what you're saying about building relationships, inviting people
right.
to the table, and inviting people who we normally wouldn't. But I was at a church. I was at a church in Englewood, and a Jewish community came, and the pastor said, it was the first time that a Jewish community came. He said, we go to all churches all over. And he said, and every time we invite a church that is not of our race, they won't come because they're fearful. And he sat and said, I am so honored that you guys came. And the people from the Jewish community had an amazing time. And he was like in tears because it was the first time. And this is a well-known pastor, Almer. He said, I don't know how many times I invited people of color to, I mean, other Caucasians, churches to the table to come and worship with us. And they
right.
say, we can't come. We're afraid. And he's just baffled. So I that's why I look at fear and I look at safety. Do people, we all want to feel safe within our communities. We all want to not be fearful. So he's hitting on it, truth and relationship building.
Yeah, we need truth. This is that's what it's all about. This ain't
in
about judging or and we're not trying to beat bash nobody, because the truth is going to, first of all, set you free that you can get some correction and get some answers. And a lot of people are hurting out there, even in the police department, even all around. And as we both all said, there are on both sides. They're good and bad. That's even in the community. There's thugs and there's good people. So close the gap. We got to shorten the bridge. We got to get closer on this thing. And I think this is a movement with James going on right now that we can all get, gain some momentum, not just for Houston, but for here, Los Angeles, for the Inland Empire, for Milwaukee. I see all these, Atlanta is here today. I see so many numbers of different states that are representing their state today, that we can all draw momentum to go to the next phase, because there's going to be another one. But I'm ready to stop being, okay, it's so shocked and so unprepared. Like, even with this this pandemic, this is a training ground for us to be ready for the next phase of the coming of the Lord, if you believe in Jesus Christ and the Word of God to the fullest. Are we prepared for the next thing? That's what my cry. That's what my energy. That's where my if I'm going to encourage you, is to be ready, and then let's be ready now. Now, all the people that are listening to me across all of the brands of things that we broadcast on, this is our get ready weekend. I've charged everybody to be able to survive a week without electricity, without stores, without a cable, without phones, get you a transistor radio. You know, the kind your grandmother used to have. You need to be prepared. Can you live a week without nothing from the outside? That's preparation. And it's going to be a time you're going to say, you know what, I should have listened because I needed to be. Hey, man, this has been great today. This has been great today. I want to, as we're winding it in, I want to give all of those that are on board, Minister Carolyn, Minister Emelko, James, closing out your closing remarks. Give out your hashtags. Give out your events that are going on here locally or nationally. Let us promote. Let us help you in any way possible. But pray, please pray. If you want to support the movement of Justice for Joshua, we have masks and shirts available. For every purchase, we will donate $5 for the Justice for Joshua movement that's going on. We have, I think, about three different models of shirts. If you want to support, buy a shirt. We'll donate $5 towards that. Shirts are $20. Amen. Minister Carolyn.
Yes.
Close your remarks.
Much prayer, much power. Can you hear me?
Uh-huh.
Can you hear me, Pastor?
Yes.
Oh, just much prayer, much power. No prayer, no power. So we have to continue to pray for this family and lift Mr. James up. It was a real good show, and I look forward to next week to get an update. And, yes,
amen.
Instead of talking about these kind of things, we really need to see what we could do to stop things like this, or at least assist in making a difference. And
that's right.
All.
That's right. That's right. See,
yes.
See, we need a wrongful death fund going on. We don't have to do a GoFundMe every time something happened. That we got stuff.
Right.
We got storehouses
yes.
built up. that we can be supportive in situations like that. Thank you so much, Minister Carolyn. Minister Inoko, any closing remarks?
Yes, if there's any, if you know any attorneys in the Houston area that want to do pro bono for this family, get that out, because we also need legal representation for this family.
Yes, yes.
So
amen.
Anybody that's in the system, also not just writing to the media, but the district attorney and the grand jury, because those
that's
are people who have to file. So the letters is good to send them to the media and all them, but the DA and the district and the grand jury are the two that can bring this to justice.
You know, it's amazing you said that, because I'm drafting a letter right now as we speak to Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee, who so honored me by giving me a congressional award for some of my outreach. I'm going to reach out to her. I'm sending her a letter and with a picture of us together with the plaques and everything, saying, come on, let's work together in finding the truth. Amen.
Yes.
James, any
Amen.
Closing remarks?
Amen.
Yeah, my closing remarks is, man, go ahead, sister.
Go ahead, Inoko.
Oh, no, nothing else. Just God be with everybody.
Right.
And again,
Again, I'm jotting down everything that you guys, and she's right about the district attorney. We really need to get this thing to a grand jury. If we're going to get justice, that's the way it's going to happen. It won't happen any other way. I've talked with several but I've talked to a lawyer too that has talked to several. They looked at the case. They said, man, this does not add up. This is wrong for death. There's no doubt about that. But they said the problem with that is that, just like you were saying earlier, they're going to try to find every loophole in the world because you're going up against the police, the union, the whole nine. They said your best bet, James, is to get to that grand jury. You've got to put the pressure on the Sheila Jackson Lees. You've got to put the pressure on the mayor before they can demand justice. And that way you don't even have to worry about an attorney. If we can get one, fine. But I'm telling you, I've talked with some honest people that I know that said, man, we looked at this case, and they didn't even have all the facts from some of the other stuff that I found out since then. They said, we already know, just from listening to the story, that it ain't right. We already know that. I said, but there is no justice for us. It's just us. And so we're going to do it ourselves, like God told me. You are my mercy. You get it done. You talk to the people. You tell them they are my mercy. They have to get it done. You got to get out behind. Dr. King said, we will not ride those buses. If they want us to ride in the back, we will not get on them. How are we going to get to work, Dr. King? I don't care. Carpool. You can walk. You can skip. But you will not get on that bus. You will not get on that bus. None of us will ride that bus. And what happened? Ring. You guys can you can sit in the front. You can sit in the middle. You can drive it if you want to. Y'all just you know. Why? Because they stood together, and they understood the power of staying together. Some of us gonna get bit by dogs. We gonna get hit by the bus. Well, it's a sacrifice. I will lay down my life for a friend. If in order to get something done, where is our leadership? We have no backbone. Where are the ministers in this community? That boy lived in a community that had 20 churches around his house. Where are the ministers, the backbone of the black community? All these politicians, I went out for weeks campaigning for Sheila Jackson Lee, Rodney Ellis, Mayor Sylvester Turner. I've got all that stuff on my Facebook page, and you guys know that. I know you know it, Pastor E. All standing on the corner. Vote for me. Vote for Sylvester Turner. Vote for Sheila Jackson Lee. And people would ask me, and I'm knocking at all them doors, why? Why should I vote for Sylvester Turner? Why should I vote for Sheila Jackson Lee? Why should I vote for Rodney Ellis? I said, because I believe that they are people of integrity, and when we need them, they will answer the call. And that's what I'm going to say on camera on tomorrow night. Sheila Jackson Lee, I don't care, Mayor Turner, if it's not your jurisdiction. If you got power, you got clout, this is your brother that's been slain in his own neighborhood doing community service. I don't care what district you're in. Dr. King didn't care if you lived in Atlanta, Houston, Baltimore. He didn't care where you live. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. And we as black people have got to stand together. We cannot allow these people to continue to come into our neighborhoods and slay the innocent. We understand that the police have a tremendous job to do. But they take on that responsibility when they put that badge on and make that pledge. And people are always asking me, well, what's the difference between a black man killing a black man? Well, I'm going to tell you what the difference is. I don't take no pledge to uphold the law. I don't get paid by the public to do a job. And that's what the difference is. These people get paid to do a job. And if you can't handle that job, you should not be there. If you think it's too dangerous, put that badge down, take that gun off, and go work for Kroger's or somewhere.
And then, but see, that also goes to the leadership of the police department, that they stop forcing people that are not worthy to be out there to be serving and protecting when they're not available to do that. This has been good. We want to invite you to come back next week, James, and give us an update. We want pictures of tomorrow. We want video footage of tomorrow. Now, you know, I was already scheduled to be in Houston on the 21st. I would have jumped up. If we were normal, I'd be there right now with you, standing with you out there and bringing in the people that I know in the Houston area to come and be a part. You talking about where the pastor's at, I'd be out there, and we would get this thing and get some motivation for others too. But, you know, it shouldn't take that. It should be automatic. As soon as I saw you, and I'm in California, so I'm not saying I'm all that or anything, but I'm way in California. You didn't call me. I saw it. And I was like, wait a minute, what's going on? Then we talked about it. I'm in because, first of all, I believe in you, and I know that anything that you do is about God's will in people's lives, and I applaud you, man. I pray the hedge of protection around and about you. This is not an easy thing you're doing. We pray that as we cover you, as we protect you, and as God is anointing you, no weapon formed against you will prosper physically, mentally, financially, socially, that you will be who God has called you to be with no regrets, with no negativity, and with no extra weight on you. God's going to provide by your faith. God's going to provide by your willingness. God's going to provide by you sowing first. The next harvest will be great, that you'll be able to accomplish everything that he has called you to do in this season. We believe it is done, finished, and complete in Jesus' name. Man, I love you, bro.
Amen.
Love you, man. You guys make those calls for me. Sheila Jackson Lee.
Oh no, we got you, man. We got you. We're gonna put that out there. If you have a relative in Texas, we need you to call your relative, because you get more action when you live in the state. And she's a congresswoman, not just over Houston, even though that's her area that she loves more, but she's a congresswoman over the whole state of Texas. We need everybody bombarding her number, her office, that we need truth for justice. I mean, for there I go. We need truth for Joshua Johnson in this situation, and we believe it to be done. Amen. Family, we love you guys. God bless each and every one of you. Keep James up in prayer. Keep Enoch up in prayer. Keep Minister Carolyn up in prayer. Keep P2P up in prayer as we continue to do the things that God has called us to do. We love you guys. And don't forget how important you are to God. You are his greatest miracle. Just start acting like it and see some difference in your life. It is possible, and it's a possible today.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Yeah, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone.
Thank you.
I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more.